So I want to start with what it means to remember ourselves. And really understand that we are sensitive human beings. We don't have a thick skin. We are really picking up everything all the time from the world. We are open beings. And that's a lovely thing on the one hand, and it's problematic on another. Because what it means is that our attention is constantly hijacked. It's being taken over all the time. We are being swept away. Just think about media, telephones, people around us, the issues. We're processing so much, and our attention is hijacked. And then we find ourselves busy all day with stuff coming in, processing it, understanding it. And we feel, where's my life gone? I get just taken. And a lot of it leads us to a lot of concerns and fears, anxieties, anger, neediness, and a sense that we're missing our life. So a retreat is really a time to remember ourselves. So remember what? Well, for one thing, we can remember hope. And when things are difficult in the world, we need to remember hope. And hope isn't for a specific something that we want, which is, again, busy with what I need. Hope is a general positivity of the heart. Just a sense that the heart knows to be positive. It's from our birth. We can remember that we are beautiful beings, each of us, that we sometimes forget. Because the world doesn't look at us like that. But we can remember that we're beautiful beings. We can remember our soul. We have a beautiful big soul, which is capable of so much potential. We can remember all the love that we've received in our life and all the love that we have given and we give. We can remember the insights that we have and the clarity and the thousands of books we read, and we can remember how much we are aware and how much we know and see. And in traditional language, our Buddha nature, our basic spiritual potential, which is there in everyone. So, in the process of remembering this, we're starting here in this retreat with simple appreciation. Just simple appreciation. And it's important to appreciate our birth as a human being. Not easy. There is a traditional Eastern image that is so difficult to be born a human being that it's like a tortoise swimming in the ocean. And every 100 years, the tortoise appears. There is a ring in the ocean somewhere. And all the many times the tortoise appears, one time it puts his head into the ring in the ocean. And that's the chances of being born a human being. But I mean, looking at it very simply, of course we have more chance of being born as a as a bacteria and an insect and a fly and a mosquito and an ant and a, you know, well, a human being is so complicated and so difficult. I was thinking about this when in one of my earlier incarnations as a scientist, and we had maps on the wall of what a cell does. And it was filling a whole wall with processes and arrows and maps. And that one cell is like unbelievable. And that's us. So the appreciation in a very practical sense is that we don't take anything for granted. We cannot assume anything. And so a breath is already a gift. This moment is already a gift. And that's the basis of appreciation. We can't take anything for granted. Being born a human being, but actually living in this day, is a big story. And it helps us just to be grateful, appreciate this life, to be grateful. And that's something we need to remember, because we lose it so easily. And we were doing it today, walking on this earth. Like I gave the quote of Thich Nhat Hanh, it's the magic is not walking on the water. The magic is walking on this green earth. Yes, if we don't take it for granted, it is amazing. We can appreciate it. Appreciate each other here, that we're for each other and supporting each other. Appreciate the retreat. Appreciate time just to stop and meet ourselves. Appreciate the beautiful food. Appreciate the sky above. Appreciate all the possibilities we have in our life that we're beginning to see when we sit quietly and watch ourselves. So how do we do this? Appreciation needs awareness. We are doing it through mindful awareness, which recruits the mind as well as the heart. And we'll be doing this more and more in this retreat. Recruiting, collecting the power of seeing and the power of knowing and looking carefully and clarity and looking inside and the power of the heart. And it's based on a very fundamental teaching of the Buddhist world, which is basic, which is that liberation is in the heart of our experience and not in some other place to wish for. And I said this story before quite a few times, so you've heard it before, but it's really quite inspiring. From the tradition where the Buddha was visited by an angel, and the Buddha said, I see you. You were a yogi, an Indian yogi, a sadhu. He said, yes, I was an Indian yogi, I was a sadhu, and I was looking for liberation. And I just walked and walked and walked backwards and forwards across India, trying to find the end of suffering and samsara. I was trying to find the ending of suffering. And I died on the way. And the Buddha said, well, the problem you have is that you were looking in the wrong place. You can't walk your way out of suffering. You can't walk into liberation. The only place to find it is in this thing here, 2 meter long body. The experience of this being, that's where you will find it. Inside experience, in the heart of experience. So what that asks us to do is to zoom in, is to look carefully at our experience, what is really going on. And it's in small things. It's not in great thoughts about summaries, about the spiritual teachings, etc. It's really about looking into the small things of our experience and say, what's really going on now? What's inside what's happening right now? And that's why we do, you know, we may be having so many ideas, but then you hear Simi and myself from the stage saying, breathe. Breathing, that will solve the problems of the universe. Just breathing, that's it. Maybe now you understand why. It's in the small things where we really understand the basis of our experience. And inside our experience, the whole thing is there. Samsara and Nirvana are right there. Our liberation and our imprisonment, our suffering and our joy. It's all right there in the heart of experience. So yes, a breath is good enough. It's good enough to see the whole thing, see the whole universe through one moment. And a lot of that seeing is, I said right at the beginning, listening. Is about listening to the voices that are calling us, that are talking to us. The voices of the trees and the grass and the earth, the voices of our body, the voices of our mind. To be intimate. In a big sense, this intimacy is more or less the same as compassion. Seems like compassion is there and intimacy is just being close, but actually that they are very, very similar. Intimacy, empathy, being close, deeply listening has already compassion in it, meaning I hear you, like a child that is calling us. I hear you. I'm there for you. All the listening tells us we are in relation to, we are in constant interaction, we are in constant relationship. We're not a box, separate compartment. We are always in relation to, we can't, just the senses are doorways that let the world in. We are always in relation to, and that's important. And that's where our seeing and our heart come together. The two wings of the bird we talked about, wisdom and compassion, they come together in the closeness, in the relationship, in the seeing with heart, mind, where we connect, we listen. We are with ourselves and the world. And it's right in the heart of the teachings. The first of the Eightfold Path, right view is that. Right view is that awareness of interbeing, awareness of our interaction and our relationship, and our, the fundamental relation of everything. There is a poem that I like that the translation of it in my book, Erut. And it's a question, what do I do if I feel alone and lost? And the poem says, just stand still. the trees in front of you and the bushes next to you, they're not lost. Wherever you are is the place called here. And you must treat it as a powerful stranger that is asking to know and to be known. Listen. Nature whispers, I have made this place. You can leave and come again. And each time you say, here. Stand still, listen. The forest knows where you are. Let it find you. Our experiences may not be pleasant. When we look in the heart of experience, there's no guarantee what we're going to find there. But the way out of difficulty is the way through. The way out is the way through. The practice is going through the difficulty and not trying to deny it, go somewhere else, make it nice, pour perfume, paint it pink. It's through. The way out is the way through. And we can feel that there's primal insecurity, uncertainty, fears that we do have. And we need to give them space too. They are there. They're built because samsara is about being born in a body and having somehow to survive. And so a lot of the voices, when we listen to the voices in us, they're singing a song saying, help! And we'd spend a lot of time and energy on those voices. What will be? We want something to be better. What is something? We have something missing. We don't like it like it is. We want it to be other than it is. Shakespeare said, better is the enemy of the good. We can't help it though. I want better. I want something else. I want it to be other than that. We have to give space to those fears. We have to give space. Allow them to. Allow those voices. Call them by their true names. Let them speak. Let them flower and pass. And it's really okay to feel waves of insecurity, of sadness, especially in these times. It doesn't stop anything about remembering. It increases the remembering. Yes, I remember the goodness, but I also experience waves of sadness, waves of pain or of loss or of confusion. One is not against the other. It's just being fully human that we allow those voices as well. They are because we're in relationship, like I said. We're in relationship. We are in intimacy. We're not shut down. We will pick up the pain of life. We will pick up the pain of other people. We will pick up the pain of the world. But then we come back home. But then we're in this life. We let go. We let things pass through us. Everything passes. And we can discover basic trust and basic goodness. It's there all the time. It's something primal. It's something atik. It's something very basic. We look at the obstacles or the difficulties and we see through them that there is behind their life process, which is holding me. Experience difficulty, but behind there I'm being held. I am in life. I'm connecting to the flow of life. And it's an invitation that we experience here in the practice. We sit quietly and we feel life holding us. And yes, I am ready to look at the difficulty as well. It's part of my experience. So one way of describing this would be radical acceptance, and which is Tara Brach's term. Trust is another way. We've used, there are many words, the language here, thankfully there's many lovely words, but many of them we're using and have used already in one day. Softness, caring, trust, kindness. We shouldn't get too stuck on any one of those words. Someone in discussion today said, softness doesn't work for me because it makes me feel that I can't be emotional and even passionate because softness is like a blanket. I said, no, it's a misunderstanding. It's not really, softness is not a blanket on our head. Softness is an attitude of trust, an attitude of relationship, an attitude of caring. And be yourself is the most caring thing we can do, is be ourselves, whatever that means. But it is, there is something fundamental in this trust, in this radical acceptance, in this kindness. It is allowing things to be the way they are. It is a sense that I am ready to see the way things are. There will be a pleasant experience and an unpleasant experience, and I'm ready to see the way things are. And this is fundamentally what we're doing in this retreat. And it takes time, and it takes space, and it takes practice, and it takes hours of sitting. Yes. What to do? But the trust, this trust, which is basic, that we remember, which is, yes, I can allow things to be the way they are. I can let things be without resistance, is a really powerful movement. Non-resistance is really powerful. If we don't resist the earth, the sky, the nature, the breathing, the body, the thoughts, the feelings, we don't resist. Might seem a bit scary, a little bit, well, I have to kind of allow it the whole lot, but I need a filter. Okay, you need filter to some extent, but slowly, slowly, we don't need the filters. We'll be fine without the filters. Because slowly, slowly, by non-resistance, we are allowing more of life, and we can find ourselves dancing with more, dancing with life. So it does invite us to go to a place of surrender, of letting go, of allowing, of giving space to things that come up, and trusting what comes up is my voices that I will listen to. It does need us a little bit to let go and surrender. And sometimes I have to say that if things are difficult out in the world, we really feel that we don't have a choice. I'm either going to sort of sink or swim. I'm either going to drown in all of it, or I have to swim. And sometimes the pain of the world that we experience, or the pain of ourselves, is actually giving us quite a push that we really have to hold our experience and allow our experience and meet our experience at eye level to meet the visitors coming in, even if they're difficult. The difficulties in the world sometimes give us a real sense, well, it's no longer a piece of cake, this life. I better get close to it. I better do something. On a deeper level, living without resistance is fundamental to the spiritual journey. One of the first spiritual books I read, which is, I don't know what, when I was in my teens, was the Tao Te Ching and the Tao. That you could say the key to the Tao is non-resistance, is allowing things to be there the way they are, is flowing with change. It is not fighting, but allowing, flowing with change, dancing, adjusting ourselves. And it's active. The Tao is not passive, it's active, but it's active in flowing with. And it's something also we learn here. Stuff will come up, pleasant, unpleasant will come up, but we can gradually feel we have the capacity to dance with it, to move with it. On a spiritual level, the intimacy, the sense of interrelationship, is also our protection. Because if we feel connected to the earth, the sky, the body, other people, the world, the animals, the life itself, we are part of that. And there is our protection. Life and us are one thing. We're not in charge of life. Life is in charge of us. But if we let go, we don't resist, we surrender into it, we find we're living in a much bigger world, and we find out this sense of being with, this interbeing, is our protection. Our sense of belonging, just like the poem. And we can be okay to be in a community. A community, this body is a community. We're a community. Life is a community. And we'll be okay. We're part of a much, much bigger story. Okay, thank you. So we'll take a few minutes of quiet. Okay, time to walk. Which is a bit funny after the story of the yogi that tried to walk his way out of samsara. But we're not walking, trying to walk our way out of ashigra. We're not trying to walk to search for liberation. We're walking into liberation. So enjoy. And 9 o'clock, we back here for a sitting.